The Census Cutoff and Money. I'm David Brancaccio. First, when one compares the 2008 mortgage crisis and financial collapse with this COVID collapse, at least this time the banks are healthier. This is the week big banks report their quarterly results. Citigroup and JPMorgan Chase were better than expected yesterday. And Goldman Sachs profits today really beat expectations. Also this morning, while Bank of America profits were down, the numbers show underlying resilience. Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors, joins us here. Susan, the profits reflect not just banks, isn't that nice for them, but also their financial statements say something about us, because we're seeing here some people have money to save even in these uncertain times.
That's true. The other thing that we're getting here is that we're seeing deposits increasing across all the banks. That is because consumers are saving. They're not taking those checks they're getting from the government and spending right away. They're being conservative. That's a wise move. They're being conservative right now, and you see the deposits growing in the bank. That's two legs of the stool that we need to see growth at banks. The next step would be loan growth, and hopefully we'll start seeing that in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, if the economy recovers enough for people to want to take out loans and have the creditworthiness to be awarded one.
Exactly. And that is what makes a bank tick. Right now, banks are winning and earnings are getting better because they don't have to worry about credit losses. That's where the gain largely is coming from. Going forward, the investors will start to look towards banks and want to see loan growth.
Susan Schmidt in Chicago is head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The U.S. Supreme Court is now allowing the Trump administration to cut short its counting of people. The deadline for the census had previously been extended given the challenges of pandemic. Civil rights groups are among those worried about an undercount. Marketplace's Jasmine Garst joins us. Jasmine, the Trump administration is saying that 99% of people have been counted in 49 states. Is that right?
Well, some experts say this just isn't the case. Also, Justice Sonia Sotomayor, the only Supreme Court justice to dissent, expressed that, quote, even a fraction of a percent of the nation's 140 million households amounts to hundreds of thousands of people left uncounted. Activist concern is also about who would go uncounted. If the census wraps up now, they say it will be marginalized populations, rural areas, tribal lands, and they're saying the damage could be irreparable.
If there's damage, what are we talking?
Among other issues, this is about money. Census data determines over $1.5 trillion in federal funding to state and local governments. I spoke to Professor Kenneth Pruitt from Columbia University, and he said that money
will go to those cities or towns or areas which are overcounted and not those which are undercounted.
One example of this is Los Angeles. Civil rights leaders are saying it's one of the hardest to count in the country because many residents just don't respond online. Ironically, many of those are the people who are most in need.
Jasmine, thank you. About 4,000 Amazon workers have signed a memo asking their company for a paid day off to vote 20 days from now. It's about the pandemic, where lines at the polls could be long in some places. The Amazon policy is that employees can apply to take time to vote, but if and how much they're paid for that time is subject to local laws. Now to Black-owned businesses, pandemic, access to capital, and social justice. Today, Restaurateurs in North Texas. Elizabeth Myong of KERA in Dallas has the story.
At Off the Bone Barbecue in Dallas, the pitmaster pulls back tin foil from a hot rack of baby back ribs. Co-owners Dwight Harvey and wife Rose Broussard say sales are down about 30% compared to a year ago.
It's day-to-day type thing. I mean, that's pretty much where we are at this point.
Day to day, month to month, season to season.
Catering business plummeted. They had to cut indoor dining capacity. Then beef prices rose. Off the Bone did see a burst of business over the summer, as protests against police brutality brought new customers, wanting to support Black-owned businesses like theirs. But Broussard says that first wave of support has faded. Farther north in Dallas, Smokey John's Barbecue also saw lots of new customers after the protests. But aided by promotions and social media outreach, co-owner Juan Reeves, who's Black, says many of his new customers keep coming back.
I think across the board, the initiative to support Black businesses has helped sustain us through the pandemic.
This year, Smokey John's saw its biggest Juneteenth sales, up 400% compared to last year. Still, Reeves says the cancellation of the State Fair of Texas was a huge blow. It usually brings in over a third of his restaurant's annual revenue.
There's no way we could make all that up.
More than 40% of Black-owned businesses in Texas say they could close because of the pandemic. That's according to a preliminary statewide survey from the Texas Association for African American Chambers of Commerce. Harrison Blair is the president of Dallas's Black Chamber of Commerce. He says the movement to support Black businesses is promising, but that his organization is working to make it last.
We want to do everything we can to make sure that this is not just a fad or a phase.
Blair says one way to make sure that Black businesses get the help they need is by making capital more accessible to those entrepreneurs. In Dallas, I'm Elizabeth Mayong for Marketplace.
Last year, the World Trade Organization said the European Union is illegally subsidizing its big aircraft maker Airbus, and so the U.S. is free to hit the EU with $7 billion worth of tariffs. The parties are still negotiating. The news is now the WTO has cleared the way for the EU to hit the U.S. now with $4 billion in tariffs because of the way the U.S. subsidizes Airbus's rival Boeing. Again, the parties are still open to talks.
It's significant bargaining leverage in negotiations to resolve the twin disputes.
That's Rachel Brewster, professor of law at Duke University.
One of the things that the EU can do with this retaliation is put all of those tariffs on the purchase of any Boeing aircraft. And so they have an ability to really hurt a company that's not only important to the United States economy, but important to the national security of the United States.
The Trump administration, no fan of the WTO in general, suggests the organization cannot do this because the illegal subsidies have already been repealed. And call it an elaborate game of chicken, the Justice Department is hitting Pilgrim's Pride, the poultry company, with a $110 million fine in a case about price-fixing broiler chicken parts. Pilgrim's now former CEO was among those indicted in June. The company helpfully notes it's going to put the $110 million fine onto the miscellaneous expenses line on its quarterly financial statement. They always teach business reporters like us that when reading corporate financial statements, to keep an eye on that miscellaneous line for interesting nuggets. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. We're from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.